Gordon.
So am I.
We should start a show then.
All right. Hold on. I'm going to share now.
It has taken you so long. Chrissy's popsicle is completely melted.
And it's all eaten. All gone.
Consumed.
No more popsicle.
Are you ready?
Here comes. Hey, I need to start the show. No, we're eating ice cream.
Welcome to Everyone Racers,
a show designed for the world of low-dollar racing and oddball car culture.
It doesn't matter what kind of limit champ or lucky track dog league you run.
SCCA or NASA, we won't discriminate.
As long as you drive it hard and built it yourself.
Join us each week for tech discussions, tips,
tricks, as well as news and notes from the world of amateur and endurance racing.
And whether it's on the spot, hella sweet, or we're lucky enough, and Chrissy.
And I give you just the tip.
We're sure you'll giggle a little and learn even less.
Everyone report to the paddock.
This is Chris.
This is Chrissy.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Mental. Sup? Okay, we are Everyone Racers. Thank you. And coming to listen to our Callaway Sledgehammer episode. It's episode 255 in the 880 horsepower Callaway Sledgehammer C4 set a 255 mile an hour speed record in 1988, which is completely terrifying to anyone that has ever driven a C4. As I was working on these notes at my office, I emailed myself this document. There's a guy who's got an old 84 C4, really nice guy. And I read that line out there aloud to him because he's a big C4 enthusiast. And he went, "Oh dear God, yes, I can't imagine 288 miles an hour. I don't like going over 80 in mine." And he loves his. So there is a link to that whole story in our show notes. But it's been a while. I haven't been around. Jeff's missed a couple of weeks. It's important to my sense of community to find out what my co-hosts are working on. So, Chris, what you working on?
Before we get there, can we say welcome back, Mental?
Yeah, it's been a while.
And welcome back.
Like, we just let you do the intro. We don't go welcome back, Mental. Welcome back. Yeah. Cheers.
That
Mental.
Voice
welcome
that you're
back.
Not sure what it is.
I do not exaggerate. I have missed all of you. When we get to me on the what you're working on, I want to thank everyone that reached out to make sure that I was okay. But please, Chris,
you were just in a secret mission. Well, since the
I feel
last
like we
show,
said that,
we definitely we did, totally. Said that.
Okay. Yeah.
Since the last show, I've been mostly working on repairing the Mazda Valdez. So that after we pressure washed it again, there's still oil like everywhere. It's amazing what happens when like a whole gallon of oil just gets poured all over your engine bay. It's so much fun.
And it was cool oil.
Oh, it was wonderful. It's everywhere. So since I've replaced the hoses in question, I rerouted them a different way, which involved cutting the radiator support and more P-clips. I had it all back together and ready to go Monday night, except one of the AN fittings decided to spring a leak at the swivel. So I'm going to make this clear. When we bought the Z, Jeff bought an oil cooler kit on Amazon from a place called Evil Energy, I think it was.
Something
and
like
it
that.
Seemed like, yeah, it seemed like it worked. And so I bought one for the Mazda too. And at this point, I have replaced every part except two straight AN hose ends. I replaced the cooler because it cracked. I replaced the elbow AN hose ends because they were leaking. And I've replaced the hoses because they sprang a leak because they're not actually really steel braided. They just have some steel running through the rubber. That's it. Never, ever anyone buy any of this crap from Evil Energy because it's junk. Just don't. Get it from Summit. Even Summit's house brand. Really nice stuff. Works well. Just do that instead. So anyway, had to overnight fittings from Summit because the one was leaking and it was Monday night and it was late and I needed to work on it tonight. So had to suck it up and pay the overnight air fee. But of course, Summit always comes through. Got it tonight after work, immediately got there, put it on, fired right up. No leaks, no nothing. Took it for a little drive. And I think we have dodged a bullet with running that car out of all its oil.
Thank goodness.
Because it seems to be fine. And I think a lot of that goes to the fact that we have an early warning oil pressure light. This the light comes on, a very bright light at 14 PSI. So it's enough. As soon as I saw it, I clicked the ignition right off. And I think that's what saved it. So that's great. Aside from that, packing, got the trailer hooked up, cars in it. We are the trailer is 99% loaded and the truck is about 60% loaded. So we're in pretty good shape to leave.
Yes. Awesome.
Very exciting.
We know, as in the four of us and a lot of people on our social media know, but Chrissy, what are you working on?
Oh, just packing. Lots of pre-race cooking. We did all our cooking last night, did a little bit of just odds and ends tonight. Getting all the pit stuff together, trying to pimp the potluck. So we'll talk about it again. But if you're coming, make sure you bring some food because there's not a whole lot on the spreadsheet. And or at least there wasn't yesterday when I looked at it. And if you show up and you didn't bring anything, then you may not be able to eat. So
It's a potluck. It's not we're hosting a dinner to serve for everyone. It's
right. There was a lot of our team signed up for stuff.
Those that are, you contribute and you eat, not just, oh, I didn't bring anything.
Right. Yeah. And then we're just packing the cars and it's very hot and it's going to be even hotter tomorrow when we pack, but we're getting ready for the race. So that's okay. Jeff, you missed a week. What have you been doing?
I did. Hey, we're going to be packing. My brother and I will be packing in the heat because I have not even begun to pack. So I was camping. I don't remember you all mentioning, but I was at Boy Scout camp. We told everybody that Mental was at work, but nobody bothered to mention. Just, we're not. Just ignore Jeff. I also listened to the podcast and was super hella jealous that you all got to go to Grid Life, and I'm desperately desiring a track day because now I've missed two events this year for my son's commitment. So dang his 14-year-old social schedule. But yeah, I was camping with the Boy Scouts and managing the camp for our troop. We had 27 kids, 9 adults, and I was in charge of everything. And I'm going to give you a toe pig review.
The
2011, something like that, Nissan, whatever the hell it is, Titan 4X, whatever.
That your truck?
My truck.
Okay.
Lesbian Lori.
Lesbian Lori.
And we say that in a spirit of acceptance.
Oh, absolutely. Makes a great bear box. You see, because where we were camping in the Poconos, we were like the bear highway to the rest of the camp. We were on the edge. They walked through every freaking night and every day. We had bears constantly. So all the kids put all their snacks in the cab, my King cab, whatever, Nissan Titan. That thing smelled like Willy Wonka's freaking boudoir. It was like, I opened it up and like the smell of chocolate and donuts, and I was crazy how much it was.
That's all good. That's good. I was expecting it to smell like poo. So no.
Or vomit has been his experience.
I don't know. I feel like that's not what I was expecting.
Or a gaggle of 14-year-old boys. Yeah.
That's also what I was getting at. Yes, yes, yes.
And
that's a special, that's not even really a poo smell. That's a unique.
No, no. You know, I'm sorry. I was generalizing. Bad is what I was going for.
B.O.
14-year-old boys smell. But no, none of them actually got in the truck. They just stored all their crap in the truck, all their food. Yeah. Boys and girls, because we have girls in our troop. And Willy Wonka's boudoir was the like clean version, because I've really been saying other things all week. But anyway, I just want to mention that I was at Boy Scout camp, had a bunch of super proud dad moments. My son passed his swimming merit badge, and he's a terrible swimmer, and he worked his butt off all weekend, and it was like he finally accomplished. So yeah, I am still excited about Scouts, but even more excited to get back to real life and go racing. So can't wait. See you all this weekend. Very excited.
Very jealous.
Yeah. Mental, what you working on?
It's been a while.
It has been a while. I have been busy on what was called a particularly significant iteration of the Air Force's premier air warfare exercise. I can't say where that came from, because I'm not supposed to acknowledge the existence of that article, but that's totally going on my resume. outside of that, we had some flooding here in Las Vegas, which I was particularly annoyed because I had about 3 leaks in the roof. The roof saga has been going on for years. The new roof. And I was furious with myself. And then I saw the Circa, the multi-$100 million brand new hotel, had water coming through one of their televisions. Oh. And I posted all this on our Instagram, and you could see some of that. So I don't feel as bad because there was some serious flooding issues going on here. The local racetrack just over the mountains in Pahrump is flooded out. It may not be repairable anytime soon. This was something, and it was all flash flooding because the next day, of course, it was all gone. I got my booster, one of my, and not to turn this into yay boosters, boo boosters, don't care. But in good VA healthcare, I went to go have my heels looked at and ended up getting none of that done. And instead I ended up with a COVID booster. The two initial vaccines and a booster, I've not had any problems. Last night, 8 o'clock, a truck hit me. And then I proceeded to go to bed and alternate between shivering and sweating. And they did that all night, almost didn't go to work today, but I think I'm on the upswing. That one just crushed me. Finished a couple of the Lemons wrap up videos. You can look to see those on the YouTube channel. Those will be coming. And also I have been cheating with another podcast. I've been on the board guy for the John Polnick's Dirt or Die podcast with Dwayne Wick of Wick's Garage here in Las Vegas. It is another Porsche centric podcast. Recorded at the Rami Studios in Container Park, which soon this will move there. And just, you know, as I often do, making some piss poor vehicle choices.
Oh, more did somebody them? Buy something?
Yeah. So we'll do that. So as soon as my slow computer finally throws that screen up there, I would like to introduce you all to my new Moose Wagon.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that.
Volvo T5 Turbo, 5-speed.
I think that's a fantastic decision.
What does this replace?
Nothing.
Just adding.
Okay.
Now, did you guys ever sell Vicky's Tiguan?
Oh, yeah. Immediately, like 3 days after she decided, you know, my God, used cars are crazy expensive. Get rid of mine. So she's been driving the AMG, which the AMG is probably very happy about.
It's living a more luxurious life now, that's for sure.
Exactly. It does not get into nearly the shenanigans that it probably does when I'm operating it, but yeah.
Yet somehow the tire life dramatically improved.
Amazing.
I think a T5 5-speed Volvo Moose Wagon is right up Mental's alley. I think mm-hmm. this is a fantastic vehicle for him.
I think black is an unfortunate choice for the desert, but
yes.
They look better in white too. Just all Volvos.
They do.
Look better in white.
But well, and then there's the R, which came in that blue. But yeah, it's the 5-speed that sold me on it. Unfortunately, there was a critter living in it, so
still
I
is.
Initially yeah.
Long hair.
Good one. Initially, the air conditioner and the heater didn't work because they chewed through the wires. So I got that all fixed and got the air conditioning back in it. And then the heater core is leaking, I think also because critter gnawed on it. So I spent the last couple of days getting that pulled out. And it was one of those while you're in there itis. So I pulled all of the carpets out of it and power washed those and then vacuumed up all critter droppings that were in the floorboard so I don't get the Honda virus. Which is not a virus that makes you incredibly reliable and fuel efficient, by the way, if you guys are wondering.
If only.
Little hint of mice running around, eating all your wires.
Yeah, pretty much. But enough about me. What is going on in the automotive world?
Nothing.
Just kidding. Well. I mean, there are some things.
Just
I don't
kidding.
Know if anybody.
Right as Chrissy put the microphone to her mouth, that was not what I was expecting.
Nothing.
So raise your hand if you're on like F1 Twitter and have been watching the craziness in the last 24 hours.
I'm on Facebook and my head is back and forth here is giving me whiplash.
Yeah. So most people know it. So I'm just going to briefly go into it just so we could comment on it. Alpine Formula One team and reserve driver Oscar Piastri is how you say it, right? Are in a tweet war on whether or not Oscar is actually their driver. Here are the basics. Aging F1 four-time champion Seb Vettel, my guy, quit struggling Aston Martin race team to retire, because even though he's like 35, he's like considered really old. Aston Martin's owner, F1 version of Daddy Warbucks, signed Alpine's even older two-time champion, Fernando Alonso. Just follow us on this one. Old guy swap for old guy. That's not the important part. So Alpine tweets about a day later that it has promoted, use the term promoted, their backup driver, Oscar Piastri, who after many hours of not saying anything, like there's usually like a quote or a retweet or something, like I'm excited for next year. None of that. He just says basically, whatever they did without my permission, and I will not be driving for Alpine next year, signaling that not only that he plans to break his current contract because he technically is with them currently, whatever, I don't know what's going on. Alpine insists that he can't break the contract. I'm sure lawsuits are going to follow. What a freaking mess.
Who wants to be number two to Stroll?
Right? Like, come on, this is the greatest seat ever.
Nope. Promoted.
Except for the fact that that they're not exactly the greatest team.
Also, why would Alonso, like, Alpine's doing pretty well compared to Aston.
Better than Aston, absolutely.
Why would you even go there?
Fact.
What? Yeah. This whole thing is such a hot mess, and it makes you not want to trust the news, right? Like, it's the kind of thing that you're just like, well, are you really going there? Or are you, when you're just gonna be like, nope, not going there today.
What? Although honestly, it's a shame that Sebastian Vettel is retiring, because I would love to hear his take on all of this.
Oh, I'm sure his tongue is going to be as loose as hell as soon as he.
Yeah.
Spend some time
and,
with this
and family. I anticipate a lot of fun snide comments from Fernando.
I did see, just we'll go back to the Seb thing for a moment, but he basically said that he's retiring. He posted a video on his Instagram account. He created an Instagram account to announce his retirement.
Really?
Yeah, because he has never been a social media guy. And okay. He basically said, I love driving. I hate traveling. I hate traveling the world. I hate the circus. I'm out of F1, but like it's not because I don't like Aston, it's not because I don't like the people around me, but he didn't tell the Strolls either, so they were surprised and shocked. Like, so I said it's a shit show all around. I expect any minute now for whoever the hell is in charge of Ferrari to be calling up Seb and being like, yo, I know you said you don't want to you don't want to like travel, please come help our team because we suck.
But if he turns down that offer, hey, Sebastian, maybe just a once a month kind of trip to the U.S. It doesn't pay very well, but it's all the Wartburgers you can possibly eat.
Chris, I know you got something on this.
Alex Albon posted, I understand that with my agreement, Williams Racing have put out a press release this afternoon that I am driving for next year. This is right. I have signed a contract with Williams for 2023. I will be driving for Williams next year.
Is that real?
Yes.
Are you serious? So Alpine has no drivers.
Oh.
No, Albon is with Williams last year, too. Oh, but he's making fun of Piastri.
He's saying, I am racing with
not
them.
Not Ocon. No, you said Albon. I'm sorry. I thought it's for some Albon. Reason my brain thought Ocon.
No, it's Albon. But he's trolling Piastri. No,
that's amazing.
Yeah. It's fun.
Trolling the Strolls.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy. That's Lance all. Stroll.
Yep.
Couldn't have a better dude.
Yeah. All right. Hey, in other news, remember 20 years ago when WRX came out in the US and everyone was all super excited?
Yeah.
And then dealers started denying warranty claims for the car it was used in any kind of competition. So there were rumors of a unit of service managers at the time searching online forum results for local events. Backlash was strong. Subaru apparently learned their lesson, maybe. But Gulf Coast Toyota distributor, which let's be clear, this is not Toyota corporate. There's Gulf Coast Toyota runs all of the things in that area. There's Southeast Toyota, and then everywhere else is actually Toyota. It's kind of a weird thing based on who picked them up early on. Anyway, they missed that wisdom. Brian Sylvester at Road and Track gives the lowdown on a bubbling issue with Toyota's GR86. Toyota gives out a free national membership and track day voucher to every new GR86 purchase. But one owner spun a bearing at just 13,000 miles. And according to his Facebook post, the engine was starved of oil because of excess sealant, the RTV sealant on the oil pan that fell into the oil pan and blocked the pickup. Drama came when a fuel technician specialist assigned to the case used his social media posts and videos of him drifting into testing tune event, as well as some onboard driving video, to deny the claim. In response to Run Track story, Toyota released a statement stating that they are looking into the case. Meanwhile, the owner who had this happen to him is running with a used engine he had installed for $7,000 out of his pocket at a Subaru dealer. More on the saga as it develops.
Wow.
I do want to say this, which I saw immediately after that.
While we're waiting for your thing to road, back in the day, nice.
What does it say? It sucks for people that listen to podcasts.
Go ahead, Mental.
I'm sorry. So it's the infamous yellow coat guy behind the tree rubbing his hands. And it says, Mazda watching Toyota generate Miata sales.
Totally. Yeah. I'd like to mention that way back in the day, 02 or whenever, when WRX first hit the soil, they were actually giving out SCCA memberships and then denying people's claims for participating in autocrosses.
Just can't take that car.
Yeah. Jim had one. Jim had an O2 WRX.
He did.
Had it out on track. Guess what happened? Spun a bearing.
Well, he money shifted. Let's be honest.
Spun a bearing too. Come on.
Well, but it doesn't say what you can and can't do to have this. Like when you go on track, it doesn't say like, well, if you money shift, right? Like nobody's going to admit to that.
Yeah. Well, of course, that's an easy thing that they can check in the ECU logs to see, but still.
Sure.
Anyway,
I remember my buddy, the local Subaru dealership in Oklahoma, their underwriter was very gearhead friendly, and he recognized that was a lot of his business. And my friend brought his in there with the annual inspection sticker on the door jam. And he just kind of like, oh, hey, I'm going to drop my pen while you peel that off there. And he made a thing of it. He goes, okay, yeah, no, we're good.
Wow. Okay. They aren't sponsors, but we love Grassroots Motorsports. We're all subscribers and spend a lot of time on their forums and have for the better part of 20 years. One of the reasons is the people that you meet there. One of those folks is Bill Groh, after a stint in Poland, then Tacoma, Washington, is now living in Hungary. Bill posted on the GRM forum about relief efforts to Ukraine refugees, a mere 64 kilometers from his current home. Bill and contributors have raised nearly $10,000 to buy essentials for Ukrainian refugees, toys, foods, medical supplies, and the like. He's been working with officials in his town of Papa Hungary, as well as across the region. His Toyota 4Runner has already delivered a truckload of canned food, drinking water, and medical supplies, funded in part by GRM community, to Lviv, Ukraine, destined to reach the frontline medical workers, including leaks. The threads where all of this started, you would like to help, all of that links, all of those are linked in our show notes.
And by leaks, you mean like the oniony green stalky thing, right?
Right on top of one of the pictures, it was a bunch of leaks. And I said, Chrissy will be happy to know.
I
that
do like including leaks.
Refugees are getting leaks.
The problem is that they're sandy and then you have to cook them for a long time to actually eat them, but that's fine. No problem.
Never actually ate one. I mean,
we did.
I've never cooked with one, I should say. I'm sure it's been.
Oh, right. Right after you
after
guys
I dance with
leak,
them.
Yeah, after she started that leek dance, I
bring them home, make
them
soup.
And, yeah, and it makes a really good soup.
Yeah. I've had leek soup at restaurants. I've never made it. So that's why.
Well, what the hell? Yeah.
Our all final right story involves one of the OEMs finally dealing with car flippers. New car flippers. Now, according to Bob Sorokanich at Jalopnik, letter to dealers outlining their policy that certain warranties will not be transferred on the new Escalade V, the Hummer EV, and the new Corvette Z06 if the purchaser sells that vehicle within the first 12 months of ownership. The letter, signed by Steve Carlisle, who is the president of GM North America, was spotted on social media, but the article at Jalopnik got the full text from a General Motors spokesperson. Why? Aside from new car flippers being absolute scumbags who park in handicapped spaces, it's very simple. They are trying to protect their actual loyal customers. According to General Motors, quote, when vehicles are quickly resold, particularly by unauthorized dealers or other resellers that do not adhere to GM standards, the customer experience suffers and GM's brands are damaged. The letter also points out, quote, that these changes will not impact product recalls or in any way. So if there's something wrong with the vehicle, they're going to fix it. But they are going to help prioritize ownership by brand enthusiasts and loyal customers. And I don't say this very often, but good on you, GM.
Very cool.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. So we usually...
Who usually doesn't resell General Motors vehicles at over list price? It's people on racingjunk.com. Usually. Absolutely.
Bunch of gearheads. They just like stuff. They'll sell GM products on racingjunk.com because you can sell everything on there for free. Sometimes, but they're not going to overprice it. They have lots of weird stuff. I love their weird stuff.
That's kind of funny because I was about to show something weird that somebody is reselling on Racing Junk and to ask you how ludicrous is the price.
Let's see.
Okay, where did we all go? Check this out. SEMA 2021 jacket.
Oh,
hey, like a varsity jacket. It's like blue with white jacket. Sleeves. Has a hot rod pickup truck on the back, like a 30s Ford. It says SEMA Show Hot Rod Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada.
It's a
last
pretty...
year. Yeah. You guys were at the 19, but yeah, this is last year's. Vicky and I were there.
I'm zooming in here for those of you who are on YouTube. It's like a big stitched patch.
It is, you know, yeah.
Very, very nice. I don't know, not in my style, but if you were like,
it's the kind of thing who has a C6 Corvette would wear. While he wears his New Balances, but it's a little chilly.
Yeah.
If you paid Boyd Coddington to build you a hot rod.
Oh yeah. Totally.
Yeah. So,
tell us all about your Chip Foose wheels.
But price-wise, that's really not that.
It's less than I would expect. They're asking
$175. Yeah, it's probably less than it cost at SEMA. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
See, they're not overpricing things. But yeah. I wouldn't pay it, but someone might. I don't know. Then they'll tell you that their Corvette is one of 874 in yellow with a yellow interior with an automatic, but with the all-season tires that came that year.
GT seats and all-season tires.
You know, while you're showing that ad right there, it was interesting also. They were showing the upcoming Dead Man Curves weekend there in California, which is also another aspect of Racing Junk. It's all the upcoming events anywhere near your area. And to check these all out, to buy things, sell things on Racing Junk, it's all free. Yes, you can pay for a premium membership, get rid of some of those ads, throw as many pictures up as you want. You can start free, go up there. E1R has the upgraded membership, but you ain't got to do that. Point being, Racing Junk, full of good people.
And sign up for the newsletter. That's like totally free. Get the email.
Absolutely.
Why not?
Good idea.
Upcoming races.
Lemons is at Thompson in Connecticut.
It
more
is
more to come on that. It is 95 cars, 18 BMWs. That's
great.
That's okay.
It's great.
Right?
That's a fifth. That's a little high for a lemons field.
Yeah. It's a Northeast though. Yeah. 8 Hondas, 3 Porsches, and lots of usual characters. So we'll talk a little bit more about this later.
All right. World Racing League is at High Plains. Now they have 36 cars. 15 of those are BMWs.
Wow.
That's like 48% right there.
Boring.
So
boring.
One Miata.
No.
No Hondas.
No.
9 Porsches.
Say no.
Yikes.
No.
Yikes. That's a very German field out there.
It's nine. A boring field.
Boring. Nine Hondas. In the world of not so boring, the Hell on Wheels rally started as you're hearing this. So 12 intrepid souls will leave St. Louis Obispo St. Louis Obispo via 1,175-mile route through California. Holy cow. 12 cars, not a single BMW, Miata, Honda, or Porsche. So what do they have? What is that? AM
Among. I'm sorry.
Among.
Oh,
okay.
And I also wrote 12 intrepid souls, and really it's 12 teams. It's probably like 36 intrepid souls.
True, yeah.
My apologies. I was trying to get this out of the doors.
Here's what there is. I'm not going to read this. Even though, thank you, Mental, for putting this in. I don't want to.
This actually, this came from the mouth. Came from our fifth host, Eric Rude.
Oh, great. A 59 Rambler with see-through floorboards. I assume that is because of rust, not because they installed some sort of plate glass.
It's a glass bottom car.
Could go either way. It's lemons.
A Saab 96, that is the little scarab beetle looking one. An 81 Chrysler Cordoba. That's my trying to miss. It's got a slant six and a torque flight. And as Eric tells us, that's 85 horsepower pushing 3,700 pounds through the Sierra Mountains. Yikes, good luck.
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
It's probably fine.
Leaning Tower of Power will not stop. Listen our feedback.
So I posted, it's race weekend, so I posted a bunch of pictures from us making warp burgers, which was great. I'm happy to have Chris's help. Our pictures got a lot of comments.
Tyler asked, what the is a warp burger?
After Chrissy's brief explanation, Steve R. said, apparently it grows on you. Yeah, it does. Totally.
We should mention, hey, Tyler, I assume that's Tyler Stank out there.
No, it is not.
No, different Tyler. Oh, never mind. I was going to say hi to Tyler Stank, who went to Oshkosh fly-in air, whatever the hell it is, show. But no, since it's not Tyler, who cares? Screw you. Glenn F. agreed, saying it's a pretty awesome burger. All the same stuff you might put on the burger, but cooked right into it, which is kind of like the mission statement of a warp burger, right? It's everything you want to put on the burger cooked right in.
But you don't want to bring all the fixings to the race. You just want it all done for you. And it's done.
So finally, Thomas E. chimed in and said, I'm glad to have to come to the comments to find out I don't need to educate you on a warp burger, what a warp burger is.
Oh, the car he's talking about.
Because I alluded to a whole bunch of comments of, I'm not telling you what it is because it's special and amazing. And no, they're not coming to the potluck.
And there. It's named after our East German first.
Right. And I did say that. I said, if you Googled it, chances are our car will come up.
I know you said it. I was making sure the listeners knew.
Oh, that's fine. That's what I was saying. I didn't tell you exactly what a Wartburg.
Hey, you know who we never have to explain what a Wartburg is to? Because she doesn't care.
It's true.
Chrissy's mom. I never have to say it's an Chrissy's mom. It's an East German car with a 2-cycle 3-cylinder motor that has 7 moving parts. I have never said that in my life to her.
No. And if she knew, she might say, oh, that's cute. I'd like one of those. And then we would say,
you don't. Terrible.
I actually had feedback. Sorry. I thought we were you were going to ask me and Jeff for our feedback.
Well, that was the next step, but then Jeff jumped right in before I had a chance you too. There have been more times that Chrissy and I have been gone and we've had feedback, but now you guys have been gone. Where's your listener feedback?
So I'm going to, a couple of things. I'm going to open that all three of the guest hosts that were on the show, Curtis, Tim, and Eric, of course, who's been on the show multiple times, made me kind of fear for my job because they were all awesome. It was great having them on there. And of course, Curtis is just awesome. And if you listen to that show and you thought Curtis is a great guy, meet him in person because he's actually even better in person. On the Eric show, Chris, props for your music choices and testing out the Crutchfield stuff on the vet. Well done.
Mm-hmm.
And then odds on Jeff actually fixing that car that he was working on for the on the Eric show.
The RX-7? Quite low.
Yeah.
I don't know which other car it was.
Yeah, and also and as we always notice this whenever we quote him for our listener feedback, Eric's vocabulary is just so elegant. He is, aside from being a great person, he's just wonderful to listen to because he really does paint a picture with his language. It's awesome. And Snorley Whacker is my new favorite generic reference term. Hey, hand me that Snorley Whacker.
Oh, it's not just a random bird. It's an everything.
Yeah, it could be.
Exactly.
Could be.
Look in the toolbox of the Snorley Whacker. Okay. Is this it? No, the other Snorley Whacker.
Got it. I like it. I use it as a generic bird, but could be a generic anything.
And I would also like to point out that the Garage Heroes E1R mashup went 1 hour and 43 minutes with the two shortest people on the show, time-wise. So really, it's not me or Jeff. It's Bill. Bill's the guy, man. Bill
or Vicky.
Makes everything Vicky. Go.
No. Bill they definitely put that show off the rails. He was like, oh, since there's an opening, here's another topic. Let's do one more topic. I got one more topic. He said one more topic like six times. I do want to say I was a little jealous of the Garage Heroes podcast because you were to the main topic in like 26 minutes, 24 minutes. So y'all did a great job in the beginning, and then you got the main topic and it totally, I listened to like 20, 30, I listened to sometimes 45 minutes of the shows, every show. I was like timing that sucker. I was like, damn, they were through the first half and it's such a great, this show's going to be great. And then it just kept going and go, not in a bad way. But it just kept going.
Of course, not in a bad way. All right.
Bad way. I also want to mention that I was on the Garage Heroes in Training podcast with my son Josh, the one that just got released today about Marvel and stuff. So, Comic Con. So, that one went hella long too. So, I can't throw stones.
Yeah, I think I saw that in my feed of 2 hours and 38 minutes or
2 hours,
like
28 minutes. So,
wow.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, you can't really.
But again, thanks to everyone who stepped on the show, and it was fun. It's fun. If I wasn't a part of the show, I think I'd probably still listen to the show.
But you are part of the show, so therefore you don't have to make that decision right now, which is great.
Actually, I'd probably listen to it more when I'm not there. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Let's get on to the main topic. The main topic is Thompson Race. It's coming up.
So. Thompson Lake, Chrissy, say the name. Which you can find on Lemon's wrap-up video from like 5 years ago. That she's the only one that can say it. It's AKA it's Thompson. It is the scene of some of our most epic sting of loss and one of our greatest ever victories. Here's what you need to know, and stay tuned because at the end of it is our famous and patented E1R virtual track walk.
Okay. I feel like I have a question that to make sure to confirm that this is not last year's information. Can I confirm that?
I changed one thing in your text to make it more pertinent to this year versus last year.
And I changed a couple things too.
Okay, good. Right, well, now you can keep changing while I talk. Yeah. Okay. So driver's meeting. I think most driver's meetings are in person. So make sure that if they announce that, make sure that you show up. And I believe spectators are around or able to be to show up. Parking is always at a premium. If you're going to, if you do have spectators, chances are you're going to have somebody park far away. Sometimes they've had a, you have to either walk or they might have some kind of truck to bring you over to get you a little bit closer, but chances are you are not going to be able to park over the bridge in the parking lot. And even if you get over there in your car, there's nowhere to park. So just plan to not do that if you're coming, especially if you're coming or you know that somebody's coming during the race. If you expect, so when you get there, make sure that you have your license ready, get both wristbands at the gate. Be very kind to those people because every time they have issues, usually they're short staffed like the whole world, but sometimes the line's a little slow. Maybe you'd like to chat with people and just be patient with people if you can, especially if there's a line. Tech schedule should be posted. So you should make sure you show up at the time. Make sure that everything that you do is tech is really organized these days, so it's pretty awesome to be able to go over and get in line. You don't really have to wait in that line that long, but make sure that you are. So schedule is on the Lemons page for the race. Might have been emailed as well. Usually, sometimes it is, but
I've definitely confirmed it's on the race page.
Great.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it'll be publicized, but have an idea of when your tech time is. So when they call your number, you're not the last guy that's hasn't showed up for their tech time. They do like to keep that all organized for everybody. If you've never been to Thompson, or even if you have, you will recall that the pack space is tiny. You don't have a whole lot of room, even just for your stuff, for your cars, for your RVs. So it's really, everything's really small. If there's going to be any rain, you're going to might be in a bog, because that happens. So when you get there, you are going to go over the bridge, head to the left and squat where you want. Go if you're going to go right after the bridge, it's where the team with garages, for where the other half lives. That's where we'll be. don't plan to park your RV over in front of the garage just because you get there first or something like it, because everybody who, if you have a garage space, that's where your space is. So don't take other people's spots. Wear your suit to GearTech. Hopefully you know that this is the thing now, making sure you can only carry your shoes. Just wear them, don't carry anything.
No. Carry your shoes.
Oh, okay.
I always wore them. I've never had a problem with that.
No, me neither.
They can look at them a little better if they're off your wetty ass foot.
Sure. Yes.
I was like this.
I do the same. Yep. So
lift your foot
I
up.
I do.
SFI rated foot there, Jeff.
Yes.
And I'm down with all that, but having done a lot of this, yeah, a lot of people get annoyed, you know, or they've got the, like, if you just got out of the car or something, but people get annoyed when they have to put on all the gear, and really all we care about is wearing the suit. Mm-hmm. So that you can see if there's any tears in there. And it was a spinoff of 2020 when that was just easier than us having to reach into stuff. But if you're holding your shoes, and I can see those FSFI tags, if you're wearing them, that works too, but you don't have to put them on.
It's much better than some random dude dropping his bag of sweaty gear on the table and expecting you to rifle through it and find the stuff.
Ew.
Hell no.
I've had that conversation at least once at every race that I work. You know, even if I'm not doing the gear tech, I'll say, yeah, hey man, put the suit on. Oh, why do I have to do that now? And I'll just straight up tell them in front of everybody, so I don't have to touch your stinky, sweaty gear.
Ew. I did gear tech. Yeah. Right. I did gear tech, and they lay it down, and I was like, I'm not touching that. No, I'm not. Like, don't even ask me.
We're looking for tears.
Yeah.
You know, holes and stuff like that.
Ew. Anyway, just keep your sweaty stuff to yourself. And if you don't ever share a suit with a person, just say it.
No one who's ever done that does it more than once.
I know. I'm just telling you. If
no
you
haven't ever seen anyone else does it more than
once. No. Just thinking about people's gross.
Wasn't there a group of kids at CMP once that we saw do this, that they only had like one or two suits between them so they'd get out of the car at CMP?
I've told the story of watching the kids at Texas at Eagles Canyon doing it.
Whoa. Oh, that makes me shiver. Oh, that's disgusting. Okay. All right. Back to stuff that happens at Thompson. So nearby, Walmart and two parts stores are the south one exit. It's not close. So you have to drive wherever you're going to end up going, because the track is in the middle of nowhere. There's another Webster Mass is north and has some more other stuff. Gas stations are either north or south. South is slightly cheaper, as CT gas is less expensive than Mass. Is that true? Not sure that that's true.
Everything has less tax in Massachusetts.
I checked it the other day.
Okay, good. Thanks. there's nothing around the track, so don't plan to leave and go find somewhere except for Jeff's favorite things at the track. So they have a restaurant and an ice cream shop, which I don't even want to tell you about because we're apparently going to go to the ice cream shop. It is right on.
Hell yeah, we are.
Right. It's right on the premises. You don't even have to go anywhere. Jeff, there's usually a Dunkin' truck there that usually stays there. And as long as their sales are good. So if they're going to, they'll tell you when they're leaving usually. And there is a Friday night. We already talked about this. Friday night potluck dinner.
Friday. Yes. Not Saturday. Friday.
And I did this because Saturday we raced till 6:30, and I decided it by the time track goes cold, everybody comes in and then their car might be broken. We're not going to eat till midnight. So we're moving it to Friday because time's a little bit more flexible that day. So we're going to do the same timing though, 6:30 setup, 7 o'clock dinner. And everybody better show up with some food. The food better be warm. Bring your serving spoons. And there, if you
unless it's ice cream, don't make that warm.
True. Yes. Or if it's not supposed to be warm, bring it cold. Thank you. I will specify one way or another, because I don't, if you're bringing carrots, cold carrots with ranch dip, don't make them warm. Anyway, don't bring potato salad. Don't bring a half-eaten pizza, and don't bring an open bag of chips. These are my limitations of what we should not be bringing.
Which is interesting. I'm enjoying, like, one of the legacies of the show is now everyone always says BMW is boring. It's almost like a Pavlovian response. And I've noticed, especially in the feedback when you had Tim Burr on the show about, and Tim is just a great guy to party with. You know, he brings his dog to the West Coast races. He's awesome. But after the Tim show, everyone agrees potato salad is just the worst.
Yep. Yep. Yes.
We do a potluck when we're running Red Flag because we get really busy and we don't eat. So every night one person signs up to bring food to feed everyone on the staff. And one of the rules is don't bring potato salad. It's just, it's actually written, don't bring it. We won't eat it. And then it sits in the fridge till we throw it out.
That's absolutely true. And then when you bring two, because you think, I say, bring as much as your team needs, or, you know, if you have five guys, bring enough for how many people that you think are coming. So they buy two, and three teams do this. And then you have 50,000 pounds of potato salad that you don't actually want. If
one person takes a spoonful to be polite, so they don't even eat that because no one eats potato salad.
True.
I think good potato salad gets eaten, but nobody brings that. They bring crappy stuff from the supermarket.
We made some for our own use on Saturday night. Say this. Fresh and has bacon deliciousness.
And we made it, so it's good. But when you go to the store, don't buy it. Just get it like a bag, whatever. It's not that hard. We should have enough plates, and we have definitely enough plates, forks, spoons. We should have, there should be okay. Bring a chair and drink. Bring something to share. Bring a good attitude. Okay, enough of that. Let's go about the track.
So those of you who remember the old days of Thompson, remember waiting in that hella long line on Friday morning because they wouldn't let us in.
Down the road.
The road.
Blocking the two-lane farm road with no runoff. Yeah.
It was bad. But yeah, we get to enter on Thursday these days. Thursday, 3 to 10 p.m. Do not come late. You cannot get in. Friday, 7 a.m. again. So that's where the long line will be. But it won't be so long because all the smart people get in on Thursday. I guess we won't be sleeping in the Walmart parking lot and freaking out the
Oh, those were Walmart the times. Staff.
Oh. Drunk oh, the 2 in the morning.
Days of Fantastic Shark and Pantless Matt riding a bicycle into
Oh, so good.
It's soggy. Animals. Like waking up and being like, who the F it brought that piece of crap tow vehicle with spray paint on? Oh, it's soggy. Never mind.
Yeah, or Yuri. No.
Yeah. I mean, we know what Yuri's looks like. I mean, I feel like soggy every year would bring something different. Anyway, testing day is, racing is Saturday 9 to 6, Sunday noon to 5. This is like the new capital offense race. Mm-hmm. We don't do anything until noon the next day, so we party all night. Saturday is extra long. Could work out for you if you have that kind of fuel strategy. Worked out for us once. Anyway, testing day is run by the track. It's $200. It's all ahead of time, so you must sign up on the Thompson website now. Can you register on site? I actually wasn't sure of that.
I think you can, but you're so much better off doing it ahead of time.
Yeah,
I think it might be cheaper.
In some years they have allowed passengers and instruction. We can never guarantee because I think they got a new track manager last year, right?
Yeah. And he was totally fine with it last year.
He was totally fine with it. So we don't know. We never know for sure. Cause they will not specifically say that on the website anywhere, but hopefully they will. So bring your passenger seat, whatever, testing runs from 10 to 1:15 and then 1:40 to 5:00. So there's a lunch break, but it's a long one and there's no sessions. It's just go out there and do some laps until it's lunch break and then do some laps after lunch break. Track walk, according to the track website, is 5 to 7, or Lemon says it is 6 to 7:30. So who the F knows what's going on with the track walk, but this is one of the places where we do usually get to do a track walk. Do the track walk. Do track walks, people. It's really important.
And schedule that track walk in time to get off the track, get your food, and be at the potluck.
Yeah.
Get going, basically. As soon as they let you.
As soon as they let us. So the grass, there's the Black Lake. There's all different places, kind of like side nooks to park. We've already said parking is tough, but you can park paddock on grass. So there's a lot of people who end up paddocking on grass on the access road. It's kind of a free for all. There's like this one area where you can't paddock on the hill by turn 10, but just be prepared because, you know, paddocking on the grass is not awesome and you do need to be prepared for it. Like if you're going to put your stuff on jack stands and stuff, you need to have boards and plates and things to keep all that stable. So just be aware, you might be on grass. There are some garages. They're all booked. If you were like, oh yeah, Jeff said there's a garage, I'll go. No, it's gone. There is pavement near the garages, but that's reserved for the people with garages, and they are painted lines that say this spot belongs to that garage. So you can't just park in front of your garage. You have to be inside the lines. They're big angled kind of parking spots. There's a giant light post in front of one of ours usually. Anyway, you need to know what your spot is. You just can't take whatever spot. You have to go to the spot that you are reserved for you. There are, it would be great. This is, okay, here's the deal. This is a community. If we all move our trailers on the other side of the track, on the bridge, there's a giant like gravel. There's a section of grass and lawn out there.
It's part of the infield of the oval.
Oh, the oval too. Yeah, I mean, there's the gravel lot too.
But that's filled with spectators usually.
Oh, is it? Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, they usually have the trailers all go on the inside of the oval and the part that we don't use.
Oh. And some people have camped inside the oval too.
Scott McMichael was out there last year. He was the only one. He was enjoying the peace and quiet and serenity, taking showers outside.
I just got a vision of that and it like stopped me for a second. Whoa. Okay. I'm back. Okay. So there's the infield and there's also the gravel lot. I guess they want trailers on the infield. I apologize for that. Fuel. How do we fuel at Thompson? In the hot pits or at the pumps, right? It's the way that it always is. But the pumps are kind of like in the corner. Like it's kind of hard to get to. A lot of times you have to reverse out because it's not like on an access road. So like, don't think you're going to drag your truck and trailer and go over there and your F4 750 and pump that puppy up. It's kind of a little spot. So usually we bring like, our wagon and our fuel cans because it's not easy to get the race car there. Fuel prices are reasonable. It's hard to say that any fuel price is reasonable these days, but
it's not that much more at the track than it is outside, at least not compared to most racetracks.
Yeah, which we have done the math and it's moderately different. It's a little different, but it's not tragically different. I will say that there's this, they've never run out. They always have plenty. There's a tanker truck awaiting to refill the tank if they need to, unlike some other tracks which have run out. There's this whole thing with your credit card where you have to put your credit card in, fuel, and then put your credit card in again to get your receipt out. So if you sit there and you're like, hey, I ain't getting a receipt, and then you walk away, someone will show up and put their, credit card in.
What'll happen is the next time you go to get gas, you put your card in and it'll just spit
and then
a receipt
it just
out
your receipt.
And
out.
It won't
exactly
do anything else for you. And you can't
and you're
get
like,
gas
why
and
the
you're
hell
sitting there yelling at it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's what happens every time.
It's kind of crazy.
So don't be the old people that yell at the fuel pumps.
Dip it when you're done to get your receipt. That's all that matters. I want to talk really quickly about the blend line here. This is the most violated blend line in the East. I think that there is shaking your hand. You're not this blend
people
line.
Jersey are pretty good. New Hampshire is pretty good. Pitt. Most part, they're pretty good. Well, they violated from the track, but yeah, Tom, I agree with Jeff. In of the four East Coaster usual tracks, this is when people try to pass over it all the time. People come out of it.
It's at the end unexpectedly of a long straight.
Okay. I misunderstood your statement, and it is the most often violated, not by people coming off of pit lane, but by racers on the track. And
that's what I'm talking about. I meant people are dive bombing turn one, and they're going over the over the line for the blend line into the part where the people are trying to blend in.
And they have zero tolerance.
Yes. It's not a hard line. It's easy. It's straight. It's not like it goes around a turn like in New Hampshire or any of these other weird places. So just mind your damn blend line and keep your frickin' passes on the racing surface. Asshole. Raise your hand if you've been hit. There you go. 2 out of 4 of us have been hit on a blend line violation here.
Got knocked sideways at 115. That was exciting.
Yep.
We have that famous Burt Reynolds photograph of you laying on those skid marks of the guy you committed to you. It's a great one.
Yep.
Anyway, that's what I want to say. I will be at the ice cream. The ice cream place is great. Chrissy mentioned it. They have like Maine blueberry and all these other like homemade flavors. So check it out.
Now, Chris, I see the mat that you've brought up. I also have one that it's a fully animated version that shows where the pumps are and everything. But if you want to stick with yours, I'm just offering.
Let's look at this for this part. Let's talk about this. If you want to show the pumps later, great. But I want to be able to point to the stuff I'm talking about.
Go for it.
While I'm going through it, if that's okay with you.
No, I'm sorry. I'm trying to be helpful.
No, I appreciate it. Track walkthrough. You may have heard this before if you've heard this show for the last couple of years, but it never hurts to hear it again and get back in the right mindset for remembering the track before all of a sudden you're out there Saturday morning and say, where does it go again? Yeah.
But I would.
Yes, sir.
We do not expect rain this weekend, correct?
Friday we do.
Oh, okay.
Last I saw it was a 60% chance of rain on Friday, and Friday's going to be the hottest day, like in the low to mid 90s. It is going to cool off to the high 80s on Saturday and Sunday with a low chance of rain, like 30% on Saturday. I think we're clear on Sunday.
Okay. Because that makes a difference with the track walk, whether we talk about the potential rain or the potential floods and things.
Yep. We'll talk mostly dry line right now because I think we're going to be mostly dry. All right. So, like Jeff said, blend line, come out, stay right all the way to turn one. That's that. If you're coming down the straight, watch out for the kink in the track that is where the blend line comes on. It doesn't look like much at first, but when you're going 110 miles an hour, it feels like a lot. Now, the track also narrows at that point down to kind of, you know, 3 is challenging, 2 is more comfortable. So just be careful for that neck down as you're coming into 1.
And this is the reason people violate the blend line, by the way.
Yep. Yep. And it expands out after the kink into where the blend line is. But once you're already down to 2, just stay in the 2 and don't be that guy being the third one on the inside trying to come on the blend line.
And and to piggyback on Chris's thing, even if you understand that the track narrows there, bear in mind there's a ton of people that have no idea that the track narrows there. And just check your mirrors real quick in case you're in a slower car and someone's about to do something really stupid.
Yeah, it's a tough pinch point, especially early in the day when people haven't driven it yet.
And I think a lot of people fight for what they think the apex is. And I think that gets a little hairy in there.
Mm-hmm. You don't need to apex it. Just go through the corner.
No, just go through the corner.
It's a kink, but yeah, you can do it flat. Just make sure you're sorted out with traffic first. So coming into 1, it is worthy to note that it is uphill coming into 1 right up until it's not. So really, and that flattens out after the 1 board. It starts to go downhill. So as you're coming into this, especially around the 3 and 4 boards, it's a great time to brake, and you can brake really late because you're going uphill. So you're loading up your tires more. It's slowing you down, but you want to get that braking done or mostly done a little earlier than you might expect because you're going to lose that braking once you get past the 1 board. This is a great corner to trail your brakes into though, if you are up to that kind of thing, because you're carrying so much speed. You just have to be mindful of the change in traction you're going to get at the 1 board when you go over that hill. And also the track will then go immediately to off camber, which is not helping you get through the corner. So be wary of that, but give trail braking a try when there's no one around you. You know, it's a good time to learn it. That's a great corner for it. So 1 is off camber, but you do get that camber back right around the time you get to the apex. So if you might be understeering originally as you get through it, that's okay. You're probably going to get it caught once you get through the apex. The curbing on the inside of 1 is kind of big. Try not to go over it. Not the friendliest, curbing on the outside of one into two is friendly until it's not. And there's a big ditch on the outside of that curbing. And when your teammate drives your Civic over that ditch, it's going to tear the splitter off. So
that's me.
Yep. So watch out for that.
Just one go.
Splitter. Just one splitter.
Just one splitter.
So no, because here's if you completely destroyed that goat to where it has to be rebuilt after you built that goat, it's more than just one goat.
It wasn't that bad. It's a little bit.
No.
Can I mention why this happens? This happens
no,
because you missed
no,
Apex.
No, we're talking about track walk.
No, I'm saying
not
if you
early the story,
Apex
nope,
one.
Nope.
No, mental, it's okay. I like where he's going with this.
Yeah. The reason that you do this is because you early Apex one. And early Apexing one is going to push you wide into that hole. So don't do it. Remind your late Apex here.
Yep. Go a little later. Now, two is basically just a extension of one and set up for three. Once you've kind of come through one nicely, just go through two. You can do it full throttle. Hit the apex of two, and then I track at about two-thirds of the way to the left between two and three, because you do need to get back all the way to the right for three, because three is a more important corner. If you have a car that's got some power, this is a great place to pass people too. If you have a car that does not have power, watch out for those that do. A three is a pretty standard 90 degree left. It is slightly off camber on the outside, so careful. And it does go uphill right after. You can probably carry more speed than you think through it, because you can't see around it. So it makes you think you need less speed, but it's pretty decent. There's a flag station that's in the inside of three that you must mind, because you have no idea what's going on the other side of that hill. And sometimes something will happen in four and back it all right up. So be mindful of that flag station. Your end of braking for three is just before you turn it. All right, four, between three and four is a downhill and then an uphill. And then right before four, it's another one of those where it crests over a hill and you lose all your braking again. So be mindful of that as you're braking in for four. And you're gonna have to brake a lot for four, because it is a very tight hairpin. You can go through it too wide, and we will plenty of times. If you're going through by yourself, I found the best way to go through is a single late apex with a push wide on track out. So you're coming into it, stay all the way left, brake as you enter the corner, trail your brake, come off of it, and then your apex is going to be the two-thirds of the way around is where I think is the best apex. But then make sure you bring your eyes up. Got to bring your eyes up to see where you're going on track out. Look at that exit curbing and down that little straight. Otherwise, you're just going to get bound up and not going to be able to get out of that corner very well. I've seen it 100 times.
And so it narrows significantly, and there's also a lot of other cars that won't recognize that when they come through that corner or try to do something stupid like pass you on the outside.
Yeah, it widens up nicely between four and five, though. So you've got a little room to do something, but then it narrows down again, of course, like it does every time.
And let me mention something here really quick. It is, depending on your Hans device and stuff, it is very hard to look through this corner. You need to make a plan to turn your head and turn your eyes to really get your eyes to where they need to be.
Mm-hmm. And I like to look around the corner a bit before I even start the corner.
I do
when
too.
You can still see it. To see,
I didn't know whether that you're supposed to be doing that or not, but that's what I usually do.
A bit, just see what kind of traffic I'm going to have to deal with there. Just as a safety thing, because there's just so much there. Five to six. So after you come through four, you've got it widens up, but then narrows down again. The corner between five and six, it's all kind of one. That's where the bridge is between five and six. This can be a single apex where you come down kind of toward the middle of five and go all the way out. And then your single apex is going to be all the way on the inside of six, really. There's a spot on the pavement. There's a black triangle at the end of the inside curbing. That should be your apex. It's, you feel like you don't even see it until you do, and then you can't miss it. It's pretty much all the way around.
And Chris had told me that for years. He was calling it the Dorito, and I thought I knew what he was talking about. But if you think you see the spot that Chris is talking about, you don't see it, because once you see it, it is blatantly obvious the Dorito that he's talking about.
Yeah. I found that I think in general, it's a little faster to do a double apex here if there's no one else around. So coming from four, stay out to the right and then cut the corner of five, but then go you know, make it a V, go all the way back out to the outside of five to then cut the corner of six at the Dorito. And this is especially important to late apex six, like more than any other corner on the whole track, because you lose all of your camber and then some as soon as you cross into the oval, because you are now on the roundy round oval, and roundy round ovals are only cambered to the inside, and you are going the other way. So you're going to go from no camber to the wrong way quite significantly. And if you do not early ape, or excuse me, if you do early apex this, you're going to push wide. You're probably going to be at the, on the curbing at the very start of the curbing, if not before it. And there again, there's a big ditch on the outside of this curbing from people who early apex six. So really please try to late apex six. You know, that ditch at the outside of between six and seven is serious. Also, if you get a good run, because you listen to this, you slow down enough in between five and six to blast out of six, you can pass a lot of people on that straight between six and seven as you're coming. So you're on the speedway oval, and it widens out beautifully here. You can go three or four wide. This is where you're going to need, you know, make your passes, but watch out for people around you who don't know what they're doing, because coming into seven, there's three different lines for seven. And we'll talk a seven and eight together, really, because this is the top end of the oval, the speedway oval. So the three lines are, you can come up with the inside of six and just hug the inside all the way around. And that's safe, keeps you out of the trouble. And sometimes, depending on who's around, that might be the fastest way through the corner. There's also a middle line that some people take, which is kind of going just enough off of the inside line to go around somebody, but not really going any further. And I think that's the slowest way around, personally, but sometimes you have to take it through traffic. What I think is the fastest lane way to do it, which I've tried them all with lap times and testing, and this one seems to be the worst, but best for me, is out of six, keep on your throttle as long as, like, way longer than you think coming into seven, go all the way to the left up onto the banking of seven, and they have a bunch of cones set up. You want to go almost all the way to the cones there. And once you're at the cones, you're braking and turning hard at the cones because you're on the banking. You can turn way harder than you think you can. So get that turning done on the banking. And then as soon as you get to the bottom, you do have to change your steering position a little bit because you're hitting the bottom, which is good for compression, but then you're losing it. So you're not going to be able to keep that same steering angle as you go through there. But by doing that, you carry more speed between six and seven, I think more speed into it. And you know, then you've got a decent line out through eight. So once you've done that in seven, eventually you gradually tuck yourself into the corner. Apex is about two thirds of the way around it before you come out to eight. I think there's three ways out of eight too. One is you stay all the way inside on the curbing, and it's a nice safe line. It's a super late apex, and you do get through a lot of people. If you go to the middle zone here, you're going to hit a pretty significant bump in the seam between the tracks. And once you've done it once, you'll say, oh, that's that bump. Okay. And you can tell because the paint is different at that bump because people have hit it. So usually if I find myself unable to make the inside line here, I'll just bail and go further out because it's a much smoother transition out. I think you can get on the gas a little earlier there and you avoid that big upsetting bump that happens coming out of eight. Mm-hmm. And this is as you're staring at the wall that says Thompson with a star on it.
Yeah.
As you're coming out.
Star, Thompson star. You can very clearly see the rubber, where the bumps are and where the bumps aren't. So yeah. I kind of like staying to the inside of the track as long as you can. Like, I think that's the smoothest mm-hmm. exit.
Totally. I agree. But you have to have a late enough apex to do it.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a gut check moment, but Chris kept telling me about that, you know, coming wide and taking that smoother transition. And what do you use the star as a visual reference for between Thompson Speedway? The star?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I have to be there and see it.
It was even more than once. It was just kind of one of those, okay, that worked. Oh God, that was awful. And then second time, and after a while, it really was just a lot smoother, especially given the jarring bit of that transition. But
yeah, if you don't hit that bump part, it's so much better. So either stay all the way inside, it's nice and smooth and easy, or go up a little higher than you think it makes sense geometrically, it avoids that bump, and it's a nice path out.
And if you've got a faster car or you've got some really good momentum coming out of seven, that upper line does make sense. But if you're just trying to get around some slower traffic and not get in their way, that's a good exit.
But mm-hmm. I just want to mention again, visually, if you're not in the spot you want to be, use your eyes, find the part, because there's holes in the bump and less bumpy parts, you know, like,
yeah,
when you're dicing traffic, sometimes you could be like, I can see that it's smooth right there, I'm going there.
Yeah,
even though it's not where I want to be, I'm going to get around this jackass by going there today.
It's smoother, it's probably faster because it's smoother, and it's less hard on the car that you're hitting those bumps. All right, so eight to nine, straight between 8 and 9. This is on the speedway oval and exiting the oval. I like to get back to the right a little bit, because really all you're doing is setting yourself up for 9. And this is a spot where between 8 and 9 at the transition, where so many people lose so much speed. What I think is the best way to do is, you know, go be on the right, driver's right, halfway down the straight. And then right where the transition is between 8 and 9, clip the driver's left at that transition as you go over the bump and stay on the gas. And even if you're not full throttle over the bump, stay on the gas. Everyone wants to lift. They want to so badly. And they also want to come into the corner much further out. And I don't think it's faster. I think it's slower. So stay in, go over the bump. Once you're over the bump, break in a straight line. And you can brake really hard because the corner kind of bottoms out from elevation change there. And you're going to give up 9 entirely anyway. 9 is a left-hand turn before the 10-11 section. So you're going to give 9 up anyway. So come over the bump, stay straight, brake in a straight line, and really go almost all the way to driver's right before you turn in for 9.
And I'm going to
say, might not
here,
make sense now, but it's going to make sense when you do it.
I'm going to say here again, this is another place where having multiple options helps, because there's so many times where that inside perfect line is taken by the person who is going to stand on their brakes, because yeah, there's a bit of a butt pucker here.
Yep. And you can go around outside. You can do that. But
I actually like the outside. I think sometimes that's not that it's the perfect line, but I think it's a lot of times a better traffic line.
And you're all also missing the track again, narrows significantly there.
Yeah.
And you'll see people absolutely trying to go into that 3 wide, and there is not space for 3 cars, but they are going to try multiple times.
And watch the flag station. That's as you're coming down that straight between 8 and 9, it's straight ahead of you. You're like, oh, am I going to hit those guys? Yeah, but really watch out for that one, because you need to know what's going on to the left. So, all right.
And
so
there's
say
at least one race that just totally like locks up here and comes to an almost complete stop. And like,
yeah, because they don't know where the track goes.
Very easy. Not to say it's easy to screw up. New people screw this up a lot.
Well, because you are departing. The party's on right now, that's the stock car oval, and you are departing that, and it's counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, so the 9, 10 have to be, you have to think of them as a series, really. So if you've come over, you know, between 8 and 9, end of braking is just before turn in for 9, but you do not want, your apex of 9 is your track out. That's it. As soon as you get there, you'll see a little straight stretch and where the curbing is, and between 9 and 10, and you just want your car to come right into that straight stretch. So from driver's right to driver's left, right to that straight stretch, and let the chassis just settle for just a second, because you're about to turn into 10 and you need the speed. You know, really you're carrying so much speed from 8 or from the straight between 8 and 9, you want to carry that as far into 9 as you can. That's why you're doing this, and to set yourself up properly for 10. 10 is really also just a setup corner for 11, which is what sends you down the straight. So really this whole series works together. So 10 is a 90 degree right off camber downhill. So you're coming from driver's left, hit the apex on driver's right, and then track back out. I mean, it's a standard 90 degree corner. That's fine. You may or may not need to brake as you do that. I mean, between the two, it depends on your car. But as you really just watch for the off camber. After 10, go all the way outside to driver's left for the curbing. Depending on your car, you may or not need to brake for 11. And some cars we've had, it was just a lift was adequate. Some you had to touch the brakes to settle the nose. But really, you know, everyone's going to need at least a lift, I think, to settle the nose. So 11 is your setup.
Yeah, it is, I don't want to say significant, but noticeable elevation change.
Yep. 11 is your setup for the long straight. And if you get this corner right and you're early on the gas here, you're carrying it for so long. This is really important. It is a deceptive corner. It looks small going in. You can't see your way out, and it puckers you up a little bit, but you can carry a lot of speed. There is a huge amount of track out. The track widens up after 11 for a while before it narrows down again, because that's what it does. So don't be afraid if you have to end up pushing wide in 11, there's lots of room. So after you've done your little lift or your brake at 10, ease back into the gas. And by the time you're at that apex, make sure you're full throttle, because it will hold. You're also going to be going uphill after you kind of getting through 11, giving you more traction. So, and then you crest the hill right after the end of 11. So if depending on how settled your car suspension is, I suggest you be straight before you go over that hill, because going over that hill at a significant speed with a car that's loaded up on one side makes for an interesting trip over the hill.
and not just about your car, watch other people who don't understand what Chris just explained, mm-hmm. because you'll be lining them up to pass on the outside and they have every intention of letting you do it, but then they don't realize that they've loaded their car up the wrong way, and then it unloads on them and it does things that they did not intend to do.
Yeah. And especially on the outside, right around that time, the track narrows again, as it does. Yeah. And therefore, you're all of a sudden going to be SOR, right out of road.
Is that a spinning or?
Yeah. Or this is a lot of people pants? Go off there because they get pushed off, and because they can't.
I'm pretty
do
sure
it.
I've said, yeah. Don't pinch me. No.
If you're trying to set up a slower car or an ill handling car for a pass, 99 times out of 100, unless they are really, really good, in which case you probably aren't setting them up for a pass, you're going to want to go on the inside.
Yeah. Or ease up for just a second, let them get over the hill, the car settled. Like you know, coming into the corner, what's ahead of you, if it's slow enough and it's going to be a problem, just ease off a little so that you are setting yourself up to be at maximum delta after the hill, once they land. And then you will be able to have a much safer way around them. The hill, please.
Go on. I just want to say something about the kind of the 10-11 section.
Yeah, please.
So we've been racing this for years, and we focused on this track a lot because we thought the fuel burn and stuff really matched the Civic well, and we were trying to win here a lot. And I worked really hard to get 5 and 6 right, and the 7, 8, because there's multiple ways to do it, and even 9, because I think that's the hardest turn of the track. But my times fell a lot when I learned 10-11, because mm-hmm. the old adage of what is the most important turn on the track, Chrissy, what is the most important turn on the track?
One right before the straight.
Exactly. And I think even though this is a relatively easy section, any slight error affects your lap time way more than it does in other places. Like you can do 5 and 6 multiple ways. We talked about the single or the double apex. You can do 7, 8 on the high line or the low line, you know, wherever traffic is. You can do 9 or 10 in different ways, depending on where traffic is. But you better do 10 and 11 right. If you want to make good times.
If you're 8 miles an hour slower through 11, you're carrying that 8 miles an hour for a long time.
And it's multiplying because you're accelerating from a spot that might not be on the RPMs. Chrissy, I'm sorry, go ahead, your hand is up.
Nope, I'm just adding to this corner. I also, yes, get on the gas fast. If you want to hear my thing that I tell myself as I'm going around this track
is a song?
No, it's a statement. It is turbo power. And I tell myself about it as you're going into the apex of 11. And because that's when you get on the gas faster, I think about it. So hopefully you'll think about it because you don't hesitate. Every time you hesitate, I say, no, hesitate, turbo power. Anyway, that's not what I was going to say. The flagging station at 11 before pit in is very important. Oh, so yeah, as you didn't mention, I was waiting to see if you're going to say that.
Thank you.
So there's a flagging station. Sometimes every once in a while they have like, they leave their yellow out and it's kind of confusing, but anyway, this is a blind hill before you go onto the straight as you're coming up the hill. So as you're coming up the hill, if everything stops, which sometimes it is, I'm sorry. I have a podcat here. If it all stops and you can't, she can't hear you.
I have a message for podcat.
She's also deaf and only my headphones can hear.
What's up, Jeff?
Anyway, this is bad podcasting. If it's stopped on the straight or something's happening or somebody's stuck in pit in, that guy is going to tell you about it. So make sure that you're looking up as you're coming up over that hill, and they'll tell you what's going on. So very important to look eyes up, especially when you're really focused on who you're going to get around. What's the straight going to look like? Make sure you glance over. It's going to be obviously on your right because they're going to give you a pretty big indication of what's going on.
Yep. And then be smart, deal with traffic down the straight. Pit in is immediately on the other side of the hill on the right-hand side. You know, you'll find your lane. You're just going to have to deal with it as with the traffic as you go down the straight, but the line really doesn't matter down the straight. Everyone kind of goes wherever they're going to go. Just be mindful of that. Watch the kink narrows down, watch pit out.
If you're slow and you want somebody, this is a fine time to point by. If you are slow and you think somebody behind you is going to be faster, it's helpful to know which side you plan on because it's not straight at all. It's because it kind of narrows and then it gets bigger. And then, you know, you might be going three wide. If you want everybody to go and you want to hug the one side and tell everybody to go the other way, it's helpful.
Agreed. Yeah. The driver communication here is nice to have for getting people around because of that. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. All right. I think that's about it. Anything else?
I hate the word phrase piggyback, but it sounds all kinds of like TQ. May I share the screen, please?
Go right ahead. If you hit share, it'll unshare his.
So one of the great things about Thompson is this is a multi-use facility. They have a paved stock car oval. They have the drift track. So you have pavement doing all kinds of things that is just blocked off with cones. And everything that Chris was talking about in relation to knowing where you are, knowing how to do the track. Now, if you genuinely feel that as a driver, you have gotten to the point where you can get the 80% solution out of any corner, know where the apex is, know where the fastest line is, know where the exit is, and how to do it so properly. This is one of the best tracks to start working on your racecraft. Pay attention to what the other cars are doing, understanding that it's endurance racing. So in 20 minutes, there's a completely different driver in that car, and it's suddenly way faster than it was a few minutes ago. But looking at the track here, for example, there's a turnoff there. This is the clubhouse turn that Chris was talking about. This is where the Dorito is. If you're looking on the screen, I'm going through these corners, and this is the line through the 7 and 8, which you're going counter to the normal oval. And you're turning off the stock car oval, going in the chute into the diving turn and all of this. But because there is so much pavement going in different directions, there's a lot of new drivers or even drivers that are unfamiliar with this track that are going to get distracted and make mistakes. And not just seeing the car in front of you, but observing the car in front of you and recognizing what their tendencies are going to be. This is a great place for you to start practicing that. And this is where you can probably learn how to take a slower car and get around a faster car if you're the better driver.
And
I'm sorry, you know what? I screwed this all up. This is terrible podcasting, but also this is the most important thing, according to Jeff, at least from our Slack channel last year, is up here, just past everything in the parking lot of the clubhouse restaurant right there. That's where the ice cream parlor is.
Yeah.
Right, where that little green dollar sign is.
Go over the bridge, basically go over the bridge and go into the parking lot. But instead of turning left to get out of the the way you came in, keep going straight through the parking lot and kind of around the parking lot. And there's the ice cream store.
Yep. You got to go over a little hump of grass.
Yep.
No big deal. I feel like we're in love with Thompson. Can I move on to goat or just one goat and continue the love fest of Thompson?
Sure. Go for it.
All right. We're all sharing here.
I feel like Jeff's about to make an excuse.
No, there's no excuse here.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
I want to talk a little bit about the history of Thompson. We go to a lot of tracks. I recently discovered there was a golf course here. We discovered that there was ice cream here. Everyone's like, Jeff, you're an asshole. How did you not know there was a golf course here?
Golf is stupid. That's why.
I know. No, but it was very evident.
I went on
evident.
A rant on our Slack channel about my feelings on golf.
It was very evident. You have to drive by it. So it's like,
But I want to mention that the history of Thompson Speedway is strong. This began as an oval course, one of the biggest oval courses in New England, in the 20s or the 30s. I've just read it like a minute ago. You think I would remember what it was, but there is some fantastic history on the website of Thompson Speedway. And I want to get to check out those MGs.
Ooh, look at all those MGs.
Right?
Ooh, there we go.
What a slow race.
Yeah. Very slow race.
Look at so much oil.
But here, look at this. There's a guy. I guess is he a corner worker?
He's standing on a 55 gallon drum. I thought it was some tires.
Nope, that is a pit crew guy telling someone. Yeah.
55 gallon drum. Look at all the trees. Like, you used to be able to just slide off the track and hit trees.
Yep.
Hay bales.
Allard. Look at that.
Yeah.
Is that what that is? An Allard?
That's an Allard. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't have called that.
Well, I think it's a Bentley behind it.
Yeah.
So I can't go backwards.
The 356 and an MG.
Yeah. Our little picture here. Here's some of the just men of machines driving until they die with nothing but
these little like midgets and they were wearing their leather helmets and goggles. Yep.
So this
was a multi-use facility even before that was cool.
Yeah, like this was in the days of midget, this was a very, very important oval. And then they in the 40s, they made this road course. And when kind of the midget scene died, NASCAR started coming here.
Oh, and that is a pair of birdcage Maseratis.
Yeah,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah. The cars that have raced here. I'm going to go back to that one if I can figure out where the arrow is. Here it is. Look at these amazing cars. Like, there has been some serious, and again, look at the people all standing in, this is terrible podcast for those who are
just
listening.
There's a dirt hill, it really is. And they're just standing on this dirt hill outside the track.
If you're not checking this out on YouTube, take a minute, go to the Thompson website.
ThompsonSpeedway.com/track-history, and it's got all these photos, and these are amazing.
Yeah, there is just some amazing stuff in here. And I wanted to get to near the end here because there's one for our
Look at that. All those Porsches into turn one.
Yeah, there's some color stuff here. We're starting to get into color things here. But there's one here that I know will make.
There's someone going into the berm.
I'll go back to that one. We got a live action crash. The yellow flag is flying as the car is going. I don't know what's going on there. But Alpha. Look at this. Look at this Alpha with a license tag on it.
It's a 59 Alpha Julia or Spider. Actually, whatever.
Just gorgeous. Again, it's like
apexing a hay bale. Yeah.
With his hubcaps.
Driving through the woods with his hubcaps on and his license plate on.
I think that's turn three.
Oh, you do? Okay, let me look.
That's my guess. Based on the road behind it, and it's a left-hander.
Wow, you're
my
right.
My guess is that's turn three.
Look at all the trees that used to be there.
You
know what? We think we live in the best of times, but man, look at this one right here.
How many of those people died?
I'm going to go with Chrissy on this one. I'm going to go with
the best of times. This was so cool. Running into hay bales, it didn't actually slow you
look
down.
Look at that bell-bottomed freak right there on the straightaway.
Yep.
Just jump over the bollard there. Cool. We lived in the best of times.
I'm sorry. I think that's awesome.
All those people died.
I think that Maybe it's just me, but yep, I always thought about the tracks, the great tracks that we go to. And I always thought about the big NASCAR places and the country club places. But man, Little Thompson, an important part of history. I am saying that Thompson might be the GOAT track. Yeah.
All right. I'm prepared to accept that. They need more showers, though, so you don't have to, you know, shower with overly familiar Polish people.
Who say it's okay not to.
You just have to go at the right times. Truth.
Which is the middle of the night.
Or I go right after my shift.
Yeah.
I go at, you know, like 2 p.m. and there's nobody in there.
Green flag. Green flag, checker flag. Yep. Best times every track to get a shower.
Yep, you're not wrong.
Busy during green flag. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yes, does anyone have anything else? Do we need to wrap anything? Welcome back, Mental.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, Jeff.
Check us all out on the Garage Heroes.
Keeping everything going, Chris and Chrissy.
No problem. Yeah. We got it.
All right.
Yeah, you do.
Any idea what we're doing next week?
Yes. Yes, we do. We're going to tell all y'all about the carnage.
Hopefully not real carnage. And Chrissy, I forgot to say, I said it privately. We're glad that you and the Mazda 3 are doing okay with your little off-course excursion.
Fine, I'm fine. I went at like 2 miles now.
Because I talked to you like right after, but
it's all good. Thanks for your concern.
People were asking, so
it's very nice. Thank you.
All right, so thank you all. Thank you to everybody for coming. Thank you for downloading us. We hope you enjoyed this week's edition of Everyone Racers. We also hope you'll join us in the world of driving, racing, and building, because everyone can be a racer, even Bill. I love that. I'm going to use that next time, Chris. If you enjoyed this podcast, subscribe. It's totally free. Even if you hated us, talk to us. Tell us why you love us. Tell us what you don't like. Tell us why. If you have any questions or show ideas, drop a comment on our Facebook page, Everyone Racers, or email us at everyone.racers@gmail.com. Mental, have you been getting junk pictures? Because we've been
It slowed down a little bit. I didn't get any junk.
To not get junk pictures.
Yeah.
Every now and again, we get some really interesting junk.
So, yeah, he's been away.
I've got a lot of McCour porn in there.
Oh, really? I don't know what that is. You can text pictures of your junk to Mental. 484-243-0455. Find us on Instagram or Twitter at everyone.racers, YouTube, Facebook, everyone.racers, Reddit/E1R. Mental, are we on the TikTok? No.
No, we are not. We have been kicked off the TikTok. We have no idea. We'll get that set back up.
Somehow we've been banned or shadow banned. I don't know what happened. The TikTok has disappeared. We'll pimp it when we get it back. Thanks again. And until next week, keep the shiny side up. Unless, like us, there is no shiny side, then just keep those wheels down. And we ran out of music.